It's a beautiful and very amazing thing to meet together old friends and new friends in an entirely new place, quite far away from home, to sit together for 5 quiet days. Work together, question together, and look and listen quietly, alone and together. It's been an extraordinarily beautiful spring, arriving here. First in Sweden, it was their first warm day after a long, cold, wet, and very dark winter. And there was just the first little leaves breaking out of the branches. Some daffodils all over the lawn. Then we went further up north for a retreat, and no leaves were out yet, but in the course of the 5 days, slowly the branches began greening. Coming over to this country has been an incredible continuous stream of azaleas and rhododendrons wherever we've been. And such greenery traveled through the south of England. And it was just green and more green, of such freshness and newness. The bird songs, the sun shining, some rain, and now the drops on the leaves, and the fragrance of flowers and wet earth filling the air. What are we doing here? Together with sheep and birds and clouds, grasses, water. Why are we here? What is it we want? What are we trying to get, to become, to attain? Can we ask ourselves profoundly what we want, what we are seeking? What do you want of me? Do I want anything of you? Or can we, on this beautiful evening, with still so much light and warmth and freshness, the birds still calling to each other, and the sheep saying whatever they're saying, can we on such a light, fresh evening begin to look and listen to what is here, inside and out this instant? Open up carefully, quietly, wonderingly, to what is going on inside and out, without already knowing it. Not needing to know it at all, but just listening and looking, sensing, to what is there in such unfathomable ways this moment. The sounds, the feeling of air, the breath, the heart beating, the sensations of sitting on a cushion, hands touching wherever. Maybe something we call pain here or there or attention. Thoughts arising, accompanied by feelings, sensations. Can all of that be just there as it is without knowing it or classifying it, naming it, or reacting to it, right or wrong? To listen so quietly, so openly, without knowing who one is or what this or that is, just that. And the breathing in the midst of it, not my breath, I have to follow it, but what is it? And listening to what's there. Without a scheme, is that possible for us human beings, so filled with schemes and plans and wants and techniques and goals and guilt, fears, anxieties, to listen to it all spaciously, openly, to let it all be there without knowing for what or where from or where to? What are we? What am I and you and all of us here? And all the sounds and smells and sights and colors, what is all of that? When we have no name for it, when the name is seen as just a word, and that's all. What am I? What are you? What is everything? Without a name, without an idea, a reaction. Before the next thought arises, what am I? You, it, she, everything. I don't know, but I can listen. I don't know, but I can look and open up. Without knowing, I don't have to know. Is it possible for you and me to be here openly without knowing in the midst of all there is? Feelings, thoughts, images, goals, fears, wants, to let it all be, not against it and not for it. No one there to judge, to take a position. We've already talked a lot about silence and quietness. I don't know whether much has to be added to that. We are many people here in small quarters. to find out firsthand that it is possible for a lot of people to be together in small quarters without friction, and therefore spaciously in small space, inwardly lots of space to let be what is. Quietly, the crowdedness maybe in the hallway, in the sitting room, to let it be. Let there be inner space, the inner space of not judging, not wanting something to be otherwise than what it is. And then the space narrows down to a very tight channel. One can observe that and learn about it and allow intelligence to operate about that. How wanting brings irritation, and whatever space there was is gone. Now there's tightness. Not to judge it, to feel it and see how it came about. And see it without judging, and it'll widen again. Not wanting anything to be otherwise, but open to what it is without knowing it, reacting to it. That's quietness inwardly, which communicates itself outwardly as well. In walking up the stairs, we won't do this round anymore, it didn't work out. But when you do go to your room, please step lightly, because there may be people resting. Open and close doors carefully, lightly. Examine how the lock works, how the doorknob works. Some of them are louder than others. But if one gives a lot of time to it, just to look how it operates and operate it gently, intelligently, it may make very little noise, because time and care is given to it. At this moment, it's the only thing that's going on, closing a door. Is it the only thing, or is there thoughts, what a poor closer of doors I am, or what a good closer of doors I am? Then there's more than just this. And with feeding the image of oneself or putting down oneself, there is no attention to opening or closing a door. Or it decreases. It becomes divided. We can find this out for ourselves. Don't believe what I say, but look for yourself. Observe and learn as you go. And get up and walk around and sit down. Learn as we go, not to store it up, but to be aware and alert. Not to be in the know, but to be here. Quiet. Some sounds are unavoidable, and not to worry when a door has not closed quietly, to let it pass. We accumulate so many things and make ourselves feel better and better, or worse and worse, rather than just seeing what happened and be done with it. There seem to be, about meetings, if we talk about meetings now, some feeling of confusion or uncomfortableness with the system. We'll try it out. We'll work it out somehow. If it doesn't work, like the walking, we'll come up with something else. Don't worry. I hope that by the time this retreat is over, we all have had a chance to talk with each other and probe into our condition deeply. With a quiet mind, with a mind that is eager to find out, not to follow or to suppress, but to open up and look and listen. If there are difficulties with meeting from one day to the next, not getting in, so write a note to Susan and she will figure something out. What are meetings for? It's up to each one of you. Don't have a plan, a blueprint. You may, it is old habit for most of us, maybe all of us, to plan ahead, to look good, to be approved of. Many of you may have had practices where you have to show results to your teacher. That's what used to be said in the places where I trained. Don't go to meetings unless you can show the teacher the results of your practice. This is not what is going on here. We're meeting face to face or in a group to look together into our human problems in a spirit of openness, undividedness, not yours versus mine, but our condition. Our problem, our situation, whatever it is, don't worry. There's nothing that's taboo. And if you wish to come to a meeting and you have nothing to bring up, that's all right too. I'm not expecting good questions. Don't think you're wasting my time or you have to entertain me or impress me. I just love people and to be together quietly or verbally, maybe verbally as well as non-verbally. And something will come up. If nothing comes up, we'll listen to the sheep together. Usually once during a block of meetings and sittings, I take time off and walk around in the sitting room. That will not be possible in this case. So I don't know yet what I'm going to do. I'll see what happens. And then we will resume the meetings, group or individual, whatever. Don't worry, that you'll get your time. It'll work out. Sometimes people ask about what to do with the eyes. If you have a way of doing your sitting with eyes open or closed and you find it satisfactory, then that's all right. Sometimes people tell me I keep my eyes closed and get so sleepy. Well, then have them open. But not staring ahead necessarily, but having them half open and half closed so that light comes in. And yet, there's no need to roll the eyeballs left and right. If you want to see what's left and right, then look at it. And once you've seen it, there's no need to see it any further. Because as the eyes are quiet, so the mind has a chance to slow down too. The eyes are the constant messengers to the brain, constantly keeping the brain in its associative mode. This reminds me of that, and how does this strike me, and how do I react to that? We don't have to do this. We can take a break from that. Everything is safe here, I'm quite sure. Everything is provided for, good food and a place to rest, a place to sit. You don't have to figure anything out. Maybe in the beginning it seems as though you did, particularly with regard to meetings, but that too will fade away, the problem. So can the eyes quiet down and to notice how much we depend on them to know how we're doing. Do people like me? Do I impress her or him? Always seeking out with the eyes, eye contact is called. Trying to be nice, trying to be friendly. We don't have to do this for 5 days, which doesn't mean we have to be in any way. We are what we are from moment to moment, and that changes. If one has never been to a retreat like this before, I don't know whether there are people who haven't. Beware of interpreting what you see. There was a retreat recently in Sweden where a lot of people experienced real deep joy of aliveness. And one person who was there for the first time said, "Why is there so little joy in this retreat? Everybody looks so serious, so depressed, sad." That's how it seemed, and that's how the brain interpreted what was seen. But what is seen is not always what is, or what is interpreted is not always what is really so. We have certain conditioned ways of expressing joy or pain, but maybe something new can take place, which does not have to be expressed in any conditioned ways. One can feel a great friendliness for everyone without needing to give it any particular conventional expression. And then the energy is there with the joy, all the pain, all whatever is going on. A freedom from conventional expression. "Please, thank you, how are you?" And still be closely in touch with each other, that's possible. Maybe closer, because words hide each other from each other. Susan mentioned it. That everything in this retreat is optional. You don't have to come in here and sit. Or if you feel like continuing to sit, you don't have to get up. We have these 25-minute rounds for many reasons. When the meditation training started in this country, as I remember, there were mostly young people, students, young people. Now older people are coming to retreats who may find it difficult to sit for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour or so. It has worked out all right to have these 25-minute periods. Some people are very grateful for that because it's hard for them to sit longer than that without moving. And yet others may wish to sit for 50 minutes and not get up. So let's carefully get around each other if we need to get up. But not worry if you stay put. Somebody will find a way to get around you. Maybe brush by you, but that's also something to listen to and feel. And maybe a reaction wanting to come up to observe it all. It has space in this universe. Every reaction has enormous space. The garden is so beautiful, so this is really the place where to be. It has marvelous different spaces. And maybe when the bell is rung, it can be rung so people in the garden can hear it. Maybe stepping outside and ringing that gong or whatever it is. So that there is not too much time taken in coming back in, but there will be more time than if this one didn't have to climb over mats and find their space. To live with the given situation as it is and not think of it should be different or how it was there and how much better or worse. With this we cause ourselves and each other endless problems. And the art of living is to be with what is, spaciously, openly, non-judgmentally, intelligently, and lovingly. Is that possible for you and me? Let's find out. I noticed there are quite long lines this evening for getting the food. I've been in places where it took maybe 15 minutes to get through with a line and then finally get to a very crowded dining room. If that's the case, can one be with that situation and feel impatience arise? And by giving it loving attention, can impatience dissolve into space? Just standing there is the whole universe standing there. We're not separate from everything around us, including the most distant stars and galaxies. We are all of that space, even in a crowded environment. Some people who come to spring water, this is where we have a center, find that it's nicer or quieter or more spacious to sit during the night. Then they take a rest during the day. Please do that if that's what you feel is suitable for your sitting. Don't go by the clock. I should be sitting so and so many hours, should be sleeping so and so many hours. Be free and experimental. Find out what works best. The only thing, as was mentioned, that is not optional is the work period, and to be there on time and to be for the meals on time, because after a while the food will be put away again and the dishes will be washed. Everything else is free for you to play with, to use. If you wish to walk for an hour, do so. Take cushions outside. Do you have plastic things to put under cushions? Is that your policy here?
Mm-hmm.
And where are they?
In the little alcoves.
In the little alcoves. If you wish to sit outside, take a plastic and put it underneath the cushion. It was mentioned that the lobby is a place to sit if you want to sit in an easy chair. When there's no group meeting going on. See, you may not have heard this or thought of it before in this way, but there is a way of sitting, relaxing into sitting, not tightening and stressing and straining and efforting into sitting, but relaxing into an openness of being. We don't know how to do this, but it can happen as there is awareness of all the tensions that we create through our ideas and goals and thoughts of how we should be in order to become something other than what we are. That's not relaxing, that's tightening and straining and stressful. Can a human being relax without drifting away into dreams? Relax into being here openly, attentively. aware of the stresses and not fighting them and not rationalizing them either. Nothing. Just space for it all. Once a day, at 10:30, I believe, on the schedule, there will be a talk like this. Again, find a posture that is relaxing for you. I don't know whether there are more chairs available than are in this. There are. Where can people find them?
In the dining room.
In the dining room. Bring one in, and then the mat should be moved out. Do you allow chairs to be put on the mat?
Exchange
it for the mat. And if there is certain pride, to become aware of that. We may have pride that I should sit it out with lots of pain. The fact is, the more pain there is, the less there's energy to listen. And the pain sort of just draws attention and energy onto itself. And a talk to follow and move together with a talk, it's like a meeting together. A lot of energy is needed to go into something deeply together. Why waste it on pain if you can sit comfortably and therefore radiant and eager to listen and look for yourself, even though somebody else is speaking? We'll talk more about authority and all of that tomorrow morning. If possible, take a rest before the talk, or if it's restful for you to walk quietly in the fresh air. It's good to come in here refreshed for the talk, maybe the sitting before the talk. First night, you may not sleep very well or restful, so maybe you can take a nap before, regardless of what your training has been. Something very regenerating for a human being to drop off into a deep, profound sleep in which we don't know who we are, where we are, or what time it is. And yet we remain alive. The wondrousness of the heart beating and taking care of all the functions, not just the heart, this whole unfathomable organism goes on even when we're deeply asleep. Because there's something that is happening in this universe that's beyond our knowing and grasping. It's going on mysteriously. So to drop out of the picture for a while is a marvelous thing, and then come back. And it can be an amazing freshness to having dropped off to sleep. Not to feel guilty over this. I'm saying this because myself went to a center where sleep was spurned. We were told, you don't come here to eat or sleep. Well, the food is so good, maybe that one should warn how good it is. But you find out how much to eat, so you're not uncomfortable. And yet, enjoy the goodness of the bread, the freshness of the salad, whatever, to just be there with these wonderful things that have been prepared and grown and nicely laid out. To take time, just like for closing and opening a door, take time for one mouthful of food. Not already thinking of the next one, then we're not with this one. This is how we live, though. And for 5 days, or one day, or 1 hour, or one moment, can we just be with what is without already grasping for the next thing? Or become aware of this grasping for the next thing without judgment? Then we see the truth of this moment. Grasp. If you do go to the bedrooms after the timing is over at 9:30. Please do it quietly. Walk up the stairs quietly. Listen. The best guideline is listen to the sounds that are going on. Not in order to become better or to become quieter. Just listen to the sounds, and that listening will quiet down the whole operation. That's the amazing thing. If we don't listen or think about ourselves, then there's all kinds of noise creeping in. And at times we want to hear ourselves existing, so we make noise so we're sure we're still here. To learn about it all in a kindly and sometimes humorful way. Do take walks if you feel like walking. And certain periods are listed as break. I don't know what we're taking a break from. From what? Walking is just as much listening and looking as sitting quietly. It has a difference, but it's not, one does not need to take a break from listening and looking. If one goes for a walk, how does one see the drop of water on the leaf? The cloud in the sky, how does one listen to the birds? How does one hear the footsteps of gravel? Do we look and listen to get something out of it for ourselves, to become enlightened, to have something extraordinary happen to me? Or can there be a new looking and listening like a newborn baby with open eyes and ears, not out for anything other than being there and in touch with what is. Can we look and listen for a moment in that way without trying to do it? Allow it to happen on its own? What is everything, you and you and this and that, when I want nothing of it? Just the presence of it all. We will end here for tonight.